Hello and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. We're your happy hosts, Amy and Madeline, best friends who work hard and hustle harder. We believe to be happy and healthy in your work, you need to be happy and healthy in your life.
We combine health, well-being and business with a fresh perspective to share the stories of normal people with inspiring lives. From leading entrepreneurs to athletes, models and artists, together we delve deep into their journey to success to find out why health and well-being is at the core of their philosophy.
Whether you're looking for advice and guidance for leading your best life, an engaging, easy-to-digest pep talk, or a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and wellness goals, the Healthy Hustlers podcast is your go-to for kicking ass in work and play. Graceful, warm, and incredibly inspiring are just a few ways to describe today's guest. At 29 years of age, Jess Epple has well and truly made her mark on the health and well-being industry. An avid foodie, Jess's passion lies in giving her global community recipes, advice, and knowledge that help them flourish. A clinical nutritionist, best-selling author, and founder of JS Health, her global online community that was created after overcoming her negative and toxic relationship with food. This week, Jess released her JS Health app, which is the world's first online nutrition clinic. The app allows you to have a nutritionist in your pocket and provides access to whole food recipes, meal plans, health advice, and qualified nutritionists for as little as $3 per week. Welcoming us into her stunning Lightfield Sydney home, we chatted about her journey from fad dieter to health food guru, embracing self-love, and the delicious, easy meals that all our hustlers need to know. Hi, Jess, and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm really well. It's the most beautiful day in Sydney. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
It is. We're very excited to be here as well. The sunshine is definitely on our side.
It's streaming in.
It's beautiful. Yeah, thank you for having us in your home. It's absolutely beautiful. We love being here.
Thank you so much. So happy to have you.
Now, let's kick off by hearing about one thing that most people wouldn't know about you.
Probably that I hate shopping for clothes. Maybe I'm like one of the only females in the world. It just does not appeal to me. My sisters are like, let's go shopping. And I'm like, that's like not my ideal day at all. I just have never, ever, ever been that into it. And it's very weird. One of the only females in the world, yeah. Maybe.
Well, there you go. Now we've got it on record. Yes. I like that. Yeah. Today, you're a nutritionist, a best-selling author, a wellness coach, a blogger, and the founder of JS Health. Can you take us back and shed a little light on your experiences that led you to this path?
Yes. Well, this was a real accident. I just wanted to be a nutritionist in private practice. I studied a Bachelor of Health and then nutritional medicine. And then I just wanted to be in private practice. And what happened was in my fourth year of study, I started a blog. And the blog basically turned into a brand. And the brand turned into a business. But really, this was not an easy journey for me. At 13, I discovered dieting and I developed a really complex relationship with food in my body. I think my body was changing from puberty and I started feeling really insecure about my body. And I, for some reason, somehow discovered dieting. I don't think it was through those trashy magazines. And this really led me down a very dangerous path of restrictive eating, fad dieting, negative body image. So from the age of 13, I became a chronic fad dieter. And this went on for years and years and years. And then after school, I went off to study a Bachelor of Health. I was still very disconnected from my body at that time. You know, when you're a dieter, you're living off skinny foods. I was living off Diet Coke and cans of tuna and artificial sweeteners and skinny yogurt, Diet Yoga, Diet Jelly. I remember sitting in my car in the mornings before school with my Diet Jelly and Diet Yogurt and black coffee to keep me full, inverted commas. So it was just I just had developed this torturous relationship with myself, and being skinny really was my goal in life. It's so sad to say that, but the number on the scale really started to define my self-worth. And I just developed this really sad relationship with myself. The worst thing about being a fad dieter for so many years is that I really disconnected from my body. I was not in tune with my body at all. And I was so afraid of food, like so afraid of carbs, so afraid of protein, so afraid of fats. Like if you're a fad dieter, you try every single diet. So what happens is every diet is different and every diet tells you to remove some important food group. So by the end of trying them all, you're so afraid of food. And you've just developed this really toxic relationship with your body because food can control you in such a negative way. And it just leads down this really vicious cycle of fad dieting, then binge eating, then emotional eating. You're like, it's just this terrible cycle which breaks your relationship with yourself. And then so I did my Bachelor of Health, and then I went off to do 2 years of nutritional medicine. And in my fourth year of study, that's when I started writing a blog about my journey. It was a very raw, honest journey, and I was doing it purely for myself. The blog was on private for 5 months.
Oh, wow.
It was just an online course, blogspot.com. I don't know if you guys remember that. And it was just a journey, a diary, where I was documenting my transition from being this fad dieter to slowly healing my relationship with food, because I was in therapy at the time, trying to deal with why I had developed this toxic relationship with food in my body in the first place. And also I was studying nutrition and starting to learn about the importance of food and the healing nature of foods. And so I would go home after my studies and make small changes to become more of a balanced eater. And I remember actually in my fourth year of study making a commitment to myself to give up fad dieting. And so I started documenting this. And after 4 months, my husband took a look at it and just said, I think this is really powerful, because I was being very real and honest about my journey. And he said, you have to make this live. I think a lot of women will relate to you. And I remember looking, I made it live, and 1 week later I had like 20,000 people
wow.
coming to the blog. And it just showed me I was not alone with this, mm-hmm. that so many women were just connecting to my story. And that's what Jay's Health is, and it still remains to be that way. Jay's Health is a place where people come and feel supported. Mm-hmm. They're not alone in their journey, and that's how I want to keep it forever. Just a place where women can come and feel supported by me and everyone mm-hmm. else in the community.
That's great, because I'm sure if you had a community when you're at that age and you started with your toxic relationship with yeah. food, you might not have, you know, gotten into such a bad place
yeah,
with
exactly.
self-love.
I wish as a young teenage girl I had the support that a lot of my Jay's Health community girls have now. And that honestly like has remained my pure intention throughout this journey, is I always think of my little 13-year-old self, and I just was wanting and wishing I had someone to tell me it is okay, or I feel the same, or you're not alone, and just someone to guide me through a more balanced life, because I was this fad dieter and no one around me was really guiding me in the right direction. And so I remember when I started writing the blog, that was my absolute intention. Oh my gosh, imagine if other girls will not feel alone anymore. Yeah. And that's really has not changed.
Yeah, well, we're the same age, and I remember back to when I was 13 and I went through a similar experience, probably not as in depth with having, you know, a bit of an eating disorder with
yeah.
it. I did go through a lot of fad diets, but I just didn't really know myself
yeah.
or love myself,
yeah,
I don't think, and that's a big part of it.
I definitely stopped loving myself.
Absolutely, sure. And there wasn't the information out there at the time to, like JS Health, to really guide young women to go on the right path.
Yeah, and just to eat with a sense of balance, and that your relationship with food is as important as eating your greens and eating a healthy meal. Like it starts with the love that you have for your body, because when you have that foundation of love, the healthy life becomes much easier.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. So you were born in South Africa and moved to Australia at 13.
Yeah.
And you openly mention how your mum is still one of the most wholesome, wonderful cooks that you know,
100%.
Which is amazing. What influence do you think that this had on your life?
Oh, huge. I mean, she really, like our home was this home of just healthy, delicious, delicious, abundant food. Like growing up, just watching her cook. And she has actually always had the most beautiful relationship with food. She's such a balanced eater. So it's interesting that I developed such a toxic relationship with food. But as you said, at the age of 13, I immigrated. So that was a major trigger, having to move countries, make new friends, being in a new school. So there's always a trigger for
Absolutely.
Disordered eating or having a toxic relationship with food in your body. But my mom is the best cook I'll ever know.
Wow.
And she really just taught me how to eat and how to cook with such ease. You know, she gets into the kitchen, she still works full time, she comes in at 6:30 p.m. and whips up the most delicious wholesome meal in 30 minutes. And that's why I'm so grateful, because Jay's Health is known for quick, easy, simple recipes. And it's because of her that I know how to do that, that I can finish work myself at 6:30 these days. Yeah. And 20 minutes later, I do have a fuss-free but delicious meal. And I always say, you can still be a foodie and be healthy. Like, I am a foodie. I love food, and I'm not willing to compromise on taste. Yeah. And I'm really, that's like the mission I'm on with Jay's Health, and especially with the Jay's Health app that's coming out this week, is I really want everyone to see how easy and delicious the healthy food can be.
Well, I must say thanks to your mum then, because your recipes inspire a lot of my cooking.
Oh, so
I love them. And I love that you share, because I've got your books, but also that you share them on Instagram, because I'll sometimes just be at work and I'm just like, oh, what am I going to cook? Oh. And then I see your Instagram. I actually used your miso.
The dressing.
Yeah, the dressing the other day.
Dressing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, I'm so glad.
It was so funny because I was in the supermarket the night before and I've just been like craving miso, but I just have never really cooked with it. And I was looking at it in the like Asian section and I was like, oh, I should buy this. I'll find a recipe. And then
I popped up.
Yeah, literally the next day I saw your recipe with the green, with the greens. And then I was like, I'm going to use that the dressing
honestly,
tonight.
Feedback like that when I see people actually, because I put up a recipe, I have no idea who's making it, who's not. And sometimes people tag me and I see their creations, but I don't know the impact that my recipes can have on people. So hearing that you actually that day were able to make a healthy sauce for your husband and yourself, and like that really is what inspires me and motivates me to keep creating Jay's Health recipes. It makes me so happy. So
oh, good.
You.
I'm glad, because I honestly use them all the time. I love it. And it's quick and easy. It's food that I already eat and have in the fridge. So it's not like I have to rush to the supermarket to buy it all, or I have to Google what it is or anything like that.
We don't have time. Australian women are so hardworking.
Definitely.
We balance so much, and I don't have time, you don't have time. And I really, really empathize and understand women who lack time, especially at the stage of my career. I really can relate. So I really just want to make it simple for people. And that's definitely my mission with JS Health.
I know that I've been struggling myself with exactly that. I've got two kids and lacking time to come home, and we do finish work at, as you said, 6:30 at night. I'm going to make a really conscious effort to have a look at your recipes and start because it's just actually then getting on the computer and having a look and having a cookbook there in front of me.
Now you'll have my app.
Yes, that's right.
So you can just have it right in your pocket.
That is so amazing.
It'll be much easier.
Definitely going to get your app and I'll report back and let you know how I'm going.
Good. I'd love, like, that's my heaven, just to see how people can, you know, create healthy food from Jay's Health Recipes and just start to love it and start to experiment in the kitchen and get excited about the healthy life.
Oh, that's awesome. So after experiencing a toxic relationship with food and realizing that you needed to make some change, what were the first steps that you took towards your health?
Yeah. Well, number one for me was giving up dieting. Like I remember making a commitment to myself. I need to stop. I need to stop this vicious cycle of restriction and deprivation. I could see how badly I was treating my body as a fad diet. I'd given up all those major food groups, fats, carbs, proteins. I was so afraid of everything. And I remember actually I used to go to a dietitian and who would weigh me and tell me I was this many grams over for the week. And it was just, I remember saying I would rather be like a few heavy kilos overweight than ever have to go to a dietitian and be weighed again or ever have to be on another diet again. I remember coming to a point of, I can't do this anymore. And it's not worth living like this, because food was controlling me in a really negative way. And my obsession with my weight was stopping me from living and loving myself. So the number one for me was giving up dieting and then actually just committing to balance in my mind, you know, and just saying, you know what, Jess, I'm going to give you permission to eat these foods with joy and starting to slow down and eat mindfully and consciously and actually enjoy my eating experience. Like I started experimenting again in the kitchen. Like I was so lucky that I was brought up in this home where food was celebrated. And so I had a glimpse of that growing up. So I wanted to come back to that. And so I started experimenting again with all these beautiful whole foods in the kitchen and seeing how delicious healthy food could be, because as a fad dieter, food is very bland and tasteless and you know, you're eating skinny foods. I've forgotten how delicious healthy food could be. So experimenting in the kitchen and also really taking care of my stress levels and sleep was a big one for me. I was living on adrenaline. My cortisol levels were through the roof, and I remember also having very erratic sleep. So taking care of my stress and my sleep allowed me to transform my body, because when you get enough sleep and your stress is under control, you make healthier choices. Yeah, absolutely. And you have a better relationship with your body. So that, and just removing the pressure that I was placing on myself as a young girl to do it all perfectly and let go of that perfection.
Absolutely. And you mentioned before that you started to see a therapist as well to help you through the journey. Do you think that made a big impact?
I was in therapy for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Every single week for 10 years. So definitely, because there was a lot of pain, I think, immigrating from South Africa. Yeah. And so I just wanted to really understand where that pain came from, and just going every week and being able to deal with it really does heal your relationship with food, because that pain can come out in your relationship with food. So definitely, seeing a therapist was just the support that I needed. And that's why I always say there's no shame in asking for help and getting the support you need. You know, we really don't need to do this all alone.
Yeah.
We have to ask for help.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you touched on balance. Can you give us a little insight into what balance means to you? Because I guess it's probably a bit of a loose term or a hard term to define. And I know a lot of people say to me, like, well, what is work-life balance, or what is a balanced diet? And so what is it to you, and how would you describe it?
I think it's not what people think. I think, firstly, I don't know if balance exists with work.
Yeah.
I've come to the point where I'm not even sure. But when it comes to food, it means giving up on perfection, letting go of the pressure to do it all perfectly. It means eating well most of the time, but then allowing there to be a 20% of flexibility and indulgence in moderation.
Yeah.
It means committing to the healthy life most of the time, but then forgiving yourself when you just simply can't. It means eating with joy, sitting down to every meal and having positive thoughts as opposed to negative thoughts. Balance means eating because you want to, because it makes you feel good. Eating well because you love your body so much that that's just an act of self-love. So that is balance to me. I actually do not strive to have a perfect diet. I don't strive to eat well all the time. I eat well to feel good, and then I also eat for my mind. So I go out on a Saturday night and enjoy a beautiful dinner out at a restaurant and have some wine and dessert. That to me is a balanced life. And then on Monday, I'm so excited to eat my beautiful whole foods, my Jay's Health way of eating, because it makes me just feel good and energized. And when you feel good and energized, you can do everything you want to do. So that's what I love so much about the healthy life, is that it gives me the energy to live my best life.
Yes. Yeah, I really like that, because I think the 20% rule, not, I don't want to call it a rule, but that way of thinking has been a bit of a game changer for me.
Yeah.
I personally, like, when I really started investing in, like, healthy eating, like, I've always had a pretty balanced lifestyle, but I guess going to uni and, you know, those years of not having much money, like, I was just like, my diet was kind of the thing that went to the wayside and I didn't really care. But then now, like, I'm really conscious of what I put in my body. And but I think for a while there, I probably was like, oh, if I'm going to be healthy, I need to do it all the time. And I would feel guilty when I would, like, get hot chips, or which are, like, my biggest downfall in life. You know, and I'd only eat, like, raw chocolate, and I wouldn't let us have normal chocolate in the fridge. And all of a sudden I was like, hang on, I'm actually obsessing over this too much, that it's becoming stressful, which is, like, even worse for my body. And I think, yeah, really now thinking about it, that, you know, during the week I just try to be as clean as I can, because and I actually love eating like that, and I feel so good. But then it's fine if we're out on a weekend and we're being social and I'm drinking red wine and eating pizza, like,
well, that is the healthy life. Honestly, like, being obsessed with the healthy life is in fact not healthy. Being extreme with your diet is not healthy and does lead to a lot of stress in the mind and body. As I always say, the healthy life does not mean the perfect life. Does not mean perfect eating, perfect exercise routines, perfect, perfect, perfect. It's the absolute opposite. It's like the people who I know have the most wholesome relationship with food. Just no, the people I know who have a good relationship with food in their bodies are those ones who are able to really find that balance of, yes, eating well, being in tune with their appetite, eating according to their body's needs, but then absolutely indulging and being flexible with food, but also in a way that makes them so happy. I think what happens is when you become restrictive with food or obsessed with the healthy life, you lose so much joy in that eating experience. And I think orthorexia really is this obsession with the healthy life that is very, very toxic. And I think a lot of young girls are really, really struggling with that. And I absolutely struggled with that too.
You literally just nailed exactly what this podcast is about. It's exactly that. It's living a healthy lifestyle in the right way. Yes. And that is just zero guilt.
Yeah. Zero guilt, joy, mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just having a really beautiful relationship with your body. And that's the number one thing that we all have to start with. That's the start of the healthy life, is reconnecting to yourself.
Yes.
And as women, it's very easy to disconnect from our bodies and ourselves. And there's so much body hate. And so much comparison, and we just have to come back within. Like, we're listening to everyone else, we're watching everyone else, we're comparing to everyone else, and as a result of that, we've stopped connecting to our own beautiful bodies. And so we have to come back within and remember that what works for me also does not work for you. We're also biochemically unique, and so really tuning back into that and nourishing those needs, and really having respect for our bodies and how hard they work for us. It's time to give it some love back.
Absolutely. And I like that you touch on finding what works for you, because like, I know my body, like, I love carbohydrates. Like, I love, you know, having lots of carbs, whether my fiance does not like eating carbs during the week at all. And it's so, it's like, that's fine, but we've just got to work. Still cater to what works best for both of us, because as soon as I cut that out of my diet, I just feel so tired.
That's
so
incredible that you can connect to how food makes. I think that's really a big, if you're about to start this journey, it's really connecting to how foods make you feel, but with not so much judgment, just with awareness. So when you eat carbs, you feel good. When you eat this, you feel good. Or when you eat that, you don't feel so good. So being in touch with how foods make you feel is such a big part of the healthy life. And yes, that everyone is different. Like, for me, when I eat wheat and gluten, I just get really tired. And it doesn't mean I don't eat wheat and gluten. On a Saturday for breakfast, I go out and have my sourdough toast, but I know that I will be a little bit more tired. So just being aware of the consequence of different foods. I go out on a Saturday night and drink wine and have dessert, but I will be probably much more tired the next day. So just being aware of different foods and how they make you feel is an incredibly important part of this life.
Yeah. So for all the hustlers listening that might find cooking a bit of a chore, what would be your favorite go-to quick and easy dinner?
Well, last night I literally made cauliflower pizza in 10 minutes because Sunday night is pizza night in this house. Honestly, just a one-pan dinner, which I've been making almost every night. Either I do grilled fish or grilled chicken. So I put the protein in the middle of the pan, and then I cover vegetables around it. So vegetables all around the outskirts of the protein, sweet potato, broccoli, cauliflower, whatever, beans, drizzle over olive oil, salt, spices, and that's a healthy meal. So one pan, because I think the washing up of all the different pots and pans can really put you off. I try, or otherwise I just do one big thing in a wok, you know, whether it's a stir fry or JS Health cauliflower rice or JS Health fried rice with some chicken or fish or eggs. You know, really keeping it so simple.
I think I should start trying that one, because I am the worst. I have so many pots and pans.
Oh, I know. And just try one pan dinners. They're so, so easy.
My fiance will thank you for that, because our rule is whoever cooks, the other one has to do the washing up. Same. And I usually shotgun cooking, so he always has to do the washing up.
Well, my husband does not know how to cook even an egg, basically. So he does the washing up.
That's awesome. Yeah, the kitchen definitely looks like a bomb site after I cook. And my husband is so methodical, and he will wash each plate or every pan as he goes along. And he looks at the kitchen and he's like, oh my goodness, Amy.
You're bummed.
But I really, really love the idea of the one pan. I do that sometimes with slow cooked meals.
That's great.
That's where I kind of excel, is with a slow cooked meal. I pop it in the morning and I come home and it's ready. And I feel like my life is on track when I have dinner ready when we get home.
And then leftovers, like, you can make extra dinner and then you have extra for lunch the next day. That's a big thing that I do.
That's awesome. So we want to shift gears a little and focus on self-love, because this is also something that you're incredibly passionate about. What are some ways that you tone down your inner critic when she's firing?
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to identify what your triggers are. And we all get triggered. So often it's social media, scrolling on social media. So I have big boundaries with that. I don't follow anyone that triggers any sort of comparison within me. I do not check social media as I wake up in the morning, and I switch it off at 6 p.m. every single night. So I think setting boundaries with social media is a huge one. I think just connect, like, prioritizing connecting to my body. So for me, it's time in solitude. It's yoga. Yoga is the best way for me to connect to my body in a beautiful way. And just spending time with myself. So doing something for myself every day. So sometimes I just spend 10 to 20 minutes in the JSL stress-free zone, just legs up against the wall, or practicing yoga in my bedroom, or just having a cup of tea and finding stillness. So when I connect to myself, my inner critic decreases. So often that voice comes up when we aren't so connected, and we've disconnected in some way, and we're very attached to the exterior and we're not very much taken care of within. So yoga, solitude, social media boundaries.
So do you find that when you have that solitude and the quiet time, that that's when your creative ideas come out, and that's definitely when you find that gold and you go, that's my next direction, that's what I'm meant to be doing?
When I come in to myself and I find that solitude and stillness, all my creative juices flow, my relationship with myself improves, I'm excited for life, I'm motivated. I think we are so busy as females in this world, and we're just doing so much, we're juggling so much, we don't prioritize taking care of ourselves, and we have to make that a priority, even if it's just a few minutes a day. Just coming back within, doing something for ourselves, because it does have a ripple effect on everything else in our lives. So I definitely noticed that time in solitude really makes a huge difference to how I feel in my everyday life.
Yeah, when I don't have that quiet time, my life starts to feel out of control.
Yes.
And that's probably my biggest focus at the moment, is to ensure that I get that time to myself, because like you, I find that that's when I have real direction in my life, and purpose is when I stop. And it's just self-reflection really, and just time to be still. Mm.
And that really will have an impact on your relationship with food. When you're starting to disconnect from your body, you will start to see that show up in your relationship with food. You'll start to get more anxious at mealtimes, or more restrictive as a form of control, or dealing with anxiety and stress in your life. You know, it always shows up in our relationship with food. So by taking care of yourself and spending time with yourself in a positive way, you'll see that that will actually impact your relationship with food in a positive way.
Yeah, that's great. And do you practice positive affirmations as well?
Yes, every single day. That's a huge, it's become like a mantra in my mind. Like everything that I want to visualize in my life, or just have to say, like, they've become a very natural part of the way my brain works.
Yes.
So I'm such a big believer in visualization, and powerful my thoughts are in my everyday life. And sometimes what you believe and what you think actually becomes your reality.
Yeah.
So making sure that I speak to myself with kindness, and that if I have goals for myself and my work, that they are all said in positive tone and with positive affirmations.
Yeah, I really like that you touch on that, because it's something that I've focused a lot more on lately.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I've actually been doing it more when I'm working out as well. I've always told myself that, like, I can't do cardio, I can't run.
Yeah.
And my body, like, thrives on Pilates and stuff, which I really enjoy. But at the same time, I'm like, why am I telling myself I can't run? You can run. You can do all
your body
these.
Believes it. When you tell yourself you can't do something, your body and your whole body starts to believe it. So it's so important to have positive affirmations in your life, and taking that negative and creating a positive out of it.
Yeah.
But I do also do that with my work. So like I stick my goals, or I guess in inverted commas, positive affirmations all around my house in little secret spots. And they're little gentle reminders. So I have one near my mirror in my bathroom, all the little things that I know help me form a healthier relationship with myself, but also just goals and visions for my everyday life. Are stuck all around my house, so I can, at any time of self-doubt, like, they're in front of me, and my my brain and my mind actually starts to believe what is in front of me, you know?
Totally. And it is, like, you are believing exactly what you're telling yourself. Like, I know now after Pilates, like, I'll go and hop on the treadmill and I'll set myself, like, you know, how many Ks I want to run.
Yeah.
And the whole time, instead of focusing on, oh, I'm feeling sore, I'm getting puffed, I just keep telling myself, like, feel how strong you feel.
Yeah.
Like, feel how far you know, you're going so far. Like,
And
just keep reminding myself of that instead of, and switching that
negative
from, like, oh, you're sore, you're puffed out, like, you can't do this kind of thing.
And that's exactly.
Yeah, it's really helped so much.
So if anyone listening, like, when you do have those moments of self-doubt, you just have to swap it to a positive. And at first it feels like you faking it, but you sometimes have to fake it until you make
it.
Like, you just swap that negative, doubtful thought to a positive one, and over time that becomes actually a habit. And then suddenly you're just speaking in positive terms all the time, and you don't let yourself have that. Like, obviously it's important to allow yourself to have those negative moments and those negative thoughts. That's part of life. But having them all the time will definitely have a big impact on the direction that your life is going, or your relationship with yourself and food. So you can have positive affirmations at meal times, which is a big one, because so many of us sit down to our meals and say, oh, I shouldn't be eating this. Oh my God, is this going to make me thin or fat, or how many calories in this? Or, oh my God, are there too many carbs in this? Is there too much fat in this? Like, sitting down to every meal and saying, thank you for this food in front of me. This food in front of me is going to nourish me and energize me. I'm so lucky to have this food in front of me. Just little things like that really helps you to form a healthier relationship with food.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your career is absolutely booming at the moment, and you're about to launch an app, and you've got an exciting move to the States soon, which we think is really inspiring.
Thank you.
And you do that whilst you work from home. Do you find it hard to have that work-life balance in the house?
Well, I don't know if you saw, my office is in front of my house, so it's a little bit separate. But of course, I mean, I have to be honest, I think when you're starting your own career and you have your own business, it does become your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually coming to the point where I'm accepting that now. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't have that much balance, because my dream for JS Health is too big.
Yeah.
And I care too much about my community, and I want to give them the best. But at the same time, I really do make sure that I take care of myself. I have early nights. I take breaks when I need to. I, you know, book in a holiday when I'm incredibly mentally fatigued and exhausted, and I have a lot of support around me. But at the same time, JS Health is my life, and I live and breathe it, and it's just the way it is. And it is hard having everyone work from the front of my home, but I'm also grateful, because I wake up and I'm just so excited to jump into the JS Health life and work, and that is the only way that I'm going to achieve what I need to achieve.
That's awesome. And so are you big on scheduling your days as well? So having a look and having your personal time in your calendar and also your work time. Do you make sure that you take time out to see your friends to make you feel like you do have that separation sometimes?
I am a very organized person, so I have a lot of structure throughout my work day. I switch everything off. So once I do finish work, which is normally at 7:30, everything is then switched off. I'm not one of those people. You'll never ever find me on emails scrolling on my phone past 8 o'clock. So I have boundaries. But you know, this weekend I had to work a little bit, but then I'll make sure that I take the afternoon off and see some friends, or book in a massage, or go for a walk. And I try to go for a walk in nature before or after work. So my morning and nighttime routines have a huge impact on my everyday life. They give me balance. So I always start my day with a morning routine, healthy, exciting, beautiful morning routine. So this morning I woke up at 7 o'clock or 6:45, went straight to yoga. Then I go to my local coffee shop, get my coffee. I do a little walk in nature, have my JS Health breakfast, chia pudding this morning. And then I can start my day on a beautiful note, hustle, 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 hustle. And then I finish at 7:30, and I have a beautiful nighttime routine. So I make dinner for my husband and I, and then I have an Epsom salt bath or a lavender bath, switch every single piece of technology off. And then I light a candle, I read a book, I watch my favorite TV show. And so I have those beautiful things to look forward to. And doing, I can work, I always say to my husband, if I have those things in place, the morning and nighttime routine, I can do whatever I need to do during the day. I can hustle and work so, so hard. But I think if I didn't have boundaries and I kept working till midnight, I would not be able to perform the way I do. People say that I do work incredibly efficiently. So when I am working, I'm really, really working. And it's because I have to have those boundaries. And when I have those boundaries, it just makes everything better.
Yeah, I totally agree with the morning routine, because that's something for me. Like, now that my days are a bit more flexible and I'm probably planning my own schedule a bit more, it's something that's definitely become very important for me. And I know the mornings that I get up, we've got a beautiful botanical gardens near us.
Oh,
and the mornings that I get up and just put on my activewear and go straight there and do a few laps, like, you know, I'll just look around and I'll smile and I don't even have music or anything. I just really take it all in. My day is just
different.
So completely different. Absolutely. I go back home and I'm just so excited and happy and like full of life and just ready to tackle the day.
100%. So if anyone listening, I think it's very hard to prioritize it. Like it becomes, you just end up saying, oh, I'll just be at home and just do all those little errands. And then you put aside that self-care time, but then it really has an impact on your everyday motivation and has an impact on your joy. Yes. And it has an impact on just the way that you move through your day. So just trying a week of creating a beautiful morning and nighttime routine, see how that feels and see how much more motivated and joyful you feel. And it doesn't have to be long periods. It can be 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night. Don't try and overwhelm yourself with doing, oh my God, a whole 1.5 hour morning and nighttime routine. Just 20 minutes can set you up. And I always say you make healthier choices when you have those beautiful starts and ends to the day. You actually make better food choices.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I focus on, because definitely the hour or hour and a half first thing in the morning is way too hard for me. So I focus on at least an hour every day, but that can be broken up.
Yeah.
So if it's a 10 minute, sometimes I'll only literally go for my walk for 10 or 15 minutes.
That's
and
enough.
Then I'll be like, okay, well, I'll switch off the computer at 5:30 and go for another walk or go to Pilates.
And I have to say, like, my morning routine definitely gives me the energy to make those healthy, like, if I don't start my day on a good note, I find myself feeling hungrier, craving more sugar, needing that second coffee. Like, it's just my body craving more self-care.
And don't you just think the spark in your heart as well when you have that time in the morning? You just feel the joy, as you said before. You feel happy and in control of your life and motivated.
Yeah, 100%. And also my morning time is also a big part of my visualization for my work. I wake up and I really visualize my end goals and visualize my dream for JS Health, and it gets me all very excited. I often do that while I'm on a walk with music. Such a nice way to actually dream. Like, I actually use my mornings to manifest my dream life.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Now, we just have a few final questions before we wrap up today's lovely chat. What does success mean to you?
I think waking up and being able to do what I love. Really, like, waking up, and not every day is great, not every day feels amazing, but majority of the time, waking up with a sense of purpose and passion has to be the new definition of success.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say has been your greatest lesson so far?
Like, I think what I've learned is just over the years is that I always am so hard on myself. Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? But I actually need to, when I do recognize that I'm doing enough, I see it. I see the results in that. Like, I can see the way that JS Health is helping people. And actually, sometimes we just need to take a moment to see it. We don't give ourselves enough time and attention to actually see what we're doing is incredible. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking a lot of time to reflect on what I've done and what I'm doing, and then that just feels so good. And just, I think that's the biggest lesson, is like, we are actually doing enough.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm really happy that you touched on that, because that's been something, I know I've mentioned it in another podcast, but that was probably where I found the biggest shift in my life and probably got me onto the path of where I actually feel so happy and content and passionate about what I'm doing was because I allowed myself that time to actually reflect and to be really proud of where I was and to stop. I think, you know,
you're always pushing for more and more.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, always. And it's always, you know, that next job title or that next side project, or that, you know, you're always striving for more and more and more, instead of actually just sitting back and thinking, hang on, my 16-year-old self would honestly
be so proud
of you. She would be like, as if you are doing all of that.
No,
like,
isn't that amazing? So just,
yeah,
that's what I've definitely been doing lately, is just 100% giving myself a little bit more recognition.
Yes.
And as women, we just don't know how to do that very well.
Yes.
Like, we just are so good at saying more, what's next? I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. Like, no, I think we're doing enough. I really do. And I think we're also just doing the best that we can.
Definitely. Yeah. And like, I'm not sure what your husband is like, but I'm sure he's the same as my partner in this respect. I think males can be quite, you know, they pave their path and they really know where they want to go. And like, my fiance is very much like, he's always on and he knows exactly where he wants to take his business. And you know, he's achieved a lot for our age, and I think sometimes that used to make me, it was a huge motivation, but at the same time it was sometimes
pressure,
a bit scary, because I was like, oh, hang on, am I keeping up with him, and am I doing enough to support our family and do all of that? And
well, that's another thing.
Yeah, but then the moment that I actually stepped back and reflected on where I was at and what I was doing, I started to understand where I wanted to be, and now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, it's not necessarily about keeping up or, you know, making as much money as him or that, but like me being able to be happy and passionate about what I'm doing and proud of where I am.
And it actually brings more abundance to your career when you stop and recognize all the good and all the work and all the things that you have achieved. Yes. Somehow it creates this ripple effect of attracting more, more good, more abundance, more opportunity.
Yep.
Whereas if you're constantly saying to yourself, I need more, and look at this person, look what they're achieving, look what they have, it actually just puts you down that really dangerous path of comparison that actually often leads to lack. You feel you're in a constant state of lack. You don't have enough. You don't have what someone else has. That whole thing just really is not very healthy. So just more recognition that we're doing enough.
Well, when you're feeling very grateful for where you are in your life and who you are, I think you're putting positive energy out into the world, and that's when I feel positivity is reflected back to you.
And you also attract such beautiful, positive people who are going to uplift you and actually just bring you opportunity. You know, if you're living in a constant state of negativity, you're probably going to attract people and situations that are not going to benefit you.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
So I'm really excited to ask you this one, but what would you say the best meal you've ever eaten is?
Ooh, I had one the other night. I was in Brisbane at this restaurant. Like, for me, honestly, an ideal meal is like an amazing slow-cooked lamb or a grilled piece of fish with delicious green vegetables and roasted Brussels sprouts are like weirdly like my obsession. A glass of good organic red wine. But are you asking for a particular meal and time?
Just a meal.
A meal for me, it would be probably like, I don't know, my Jay's Health cauliflower pizza. Yeah. But honestly, if I go out to a restaurant, like a beautiful piece of fish with amazing sautéed greens and crispy Brussels sprouts is like my ideal meal.
Awesome.
Yum. Thank you so much for being with us today and taking the time to chat to us. I feel like we got so much out of that conversation, and I know that the people that are listening to this podcast will too. You've got such a beautiful life of positivity and love, and you've got such a big dream, and we can't wait to see where you go with it and follow your career, because we can see you doing such amazing things in the world. Thank you so much.
I really loved it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Gorgeous.
Imagine having a nutritionist in your pocket. Well, now you can with the JS Health app. The JS Health app provides you with all the tools you need to become your happiest, healthiest self. With easy to follow nutrition guides, simple, healthy meals, and daily lifestyle tips to make the healthy life effortless. You can text a nutritionist from anywhere, anytime, and you have access to 52 exclusive nutritionist created guides specifically designed to solve your health problems like gut health, stress management, weight balance, sugar cravings, and more. Are you ready for more balance in your life? Download the app now via the App Store or check the link in our show notes.
We'd love to hear your feedback and the guests that you would like to hear from. So please feel free to send us a direct message via our Instagram page at The Healthy Hustlers. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so you can keep up to date with our new episodes each week. For a dose of weekly happy, healthy news, you can subscribe to our newsletter via our website at thehealthyhustlers.com. Until next week, make sure that you're investing in yourself to keep the hustle healthy.